All right, on Wednesday night, we don't, sometime we have a visiting missionary or preacher and have a pretty much regular preaching service, but quite often on Wednesday night, I do a little teaching or speaking on a subject, and somebody says, "Why do you go down there?" I don't know, it just feels better. I get up there in the pulpit, and I'm tempted sometime to preach whether I got anything to preach or not, and I don't want that to happen. So I wanted to teach along a little bit tonight. I'm going to say something about education, children's education, or Christian education. I want to talk to you a little bit about it, share a little information with you. Education is a big business in our world today. Did you know that? And some of it's not all that legit. I hate to say it, but that's for sure. When it comes to some of these colleges that are denying the Lord every right and denying patriotism and the good old American way, and yet we're paying for it with our taxes all the time. And that's a shame. But you got to watch out for it. I heard somebody the other day fussing about Scott Walker up in Wisconsin. He's a governor that might run for president. I think I'm right on that. Anyway, they were fussing he didn't have a college degree. He dropped out before he got his degree. Well, that qualifies him a little more in my mind sometime. Some of them, I think that's a hindrance. I think about the old farmer that said sent his son off to college. When the boy came home about the first year, first semester, he was just his daddy didn't know nothing. His daddy was dumb. He had to try to everything his daddy done. He was telling him it was wrong and how he ought to do it. And the old man just got fed up with it. And he wrote a letter to the college president, and he said, "I sent you my son to get an education, and you sent him home an educated fool." And the president wrote back and said, "Sir, we only educated what you sent us." Truth on both sides of that. Probably, amen. But we understand the Bible. I'll ask you to go to Genesis chapter 18. You understand the Bible all the way through has a lot to say about the responsibility of parents raising up their kids. And we're supposed to be the ones that have control of what they're taught, how they're educated. In the setting here of Genesis 18, you've got the Lord appearing in the plains of Mamre. He's about to go down to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And in verse 16 of Genesis chapter 18, listen to a few verses here. These men now stopped by Abraham's place, and the men rose up from thence and looked towards Sodom. Now, if you got a King James Bible, it's got Sodom in it. If you got some of the others, it may have cleaned it up and took it out. Some of them are favorites among the Sodomites, amen, because their name's not in it. But he looked towards Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do?" He's fixing to go down in judgment. "Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him." Now, I like verse 19, and this is kind of what I want to deal with a little bit tonight. "For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him." I'm going to skip it from there because I'm not talking about the judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm talking about what God thought of Abraham. And God, knowing the future, said, "I know him. He'll raise his kids right. He'll raise his family right." That's a pretty big compliment. Do you know that? And it's not so common anymore. God said that Abraham would do that. Now you check it out and you'll find out that Abraham did. And that's important to the Lord. I find that admonition all the way through the Word of God. You have the case where Joshua's over there and they've crossed the Jordan, and you remember the story? How the Jordan parted for them over there, and Joshua said, set up some stones over here, make a memorial out of it. So when your kids ask you in the future, you can tell them what these stones mean. You can point them to the Lord. That's our job as parents, you know that? We have a Christian school here. Had it now for, 42 years. I've been here 44, so about that, I guess, maybe 43. And I've seen preachers that made this statement. If I ever take another church, it won't have a Christian school. But I understand that statement. I understand it real good. I understand it's a struggle and a battle and a fight. But I also believe it is the right thing in the eyes of the Lord to do. So we've stuck by it, and we still have our Christian school today. And of course, primarily, we want to win young people to the Lord, sure. But more than that, we want to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, like the scripture says. And it's a help to parents. It can't take parents' place, but it is a help to them. If they'll cooperate with us, I've had folks say to me, they say, well, you got some juvenile delinquent kids? Nope. Got juvenile delinquent parents. That's what causes a kid. If a parent will back the things of the Lord with their kids, the kids will generally come along. There's the exception, but generally, if they got the same stand at home they've got at church and at the Christian school, it'll work. It really will. We've seen that through the years. And of course, we're so proud that various ones get saved, we have new kids sometime come to our school, and I see this on our bus routes also. They don't come very often and hear the gospel very much without responding to it. They don't have all the hang-ups that adults have. And in childlike faith, quite often, you can reach them. I was up in teachers' meeting tonight talking with the teachers, and Sister Pouts, Rachel Pouts, shared a testimony with me concerning the Christian school. And I know she's nervous about it right now, but I told her, when you get down there in church, I want you to tell them what you told me. So, Rachel, I want you to just stand up, take your time, and tell them. And did he give you a microphone there? Speak into it so they can hear you, okay?
Well, we have a girls' Bible class every day, and we've been meeting and talking about different things. And we had salvation testimonies just a couple days ago. And one of our girls, who just started coming to our school last year, started giving her testimony. She said she started coming to school last year. She said she was from a good family, but she wasn't from a Christian family. And so her first week, that Friday, Brother Colin Morton preached a salvation message in chapel. And she raised her hand that she wasn't saved, but she didn't go forward. And so one of our other girls saw her raise her hand. And so she went up to her at lunchtime, and she said, you're not saved? And she said, no. So that girl went and got Katie Lewis here because Katie's been on Teen Soul Winning, and she said, she's not saved. You need to fix her. And so Katie was able to lead her to the Lord. And that was just a wonderful testimony. And then the girl who went and got Katie, she started giving her testimony. And she started out on one of our buses. Her and her sisters and her brother have been coming to junior church for years now. And they started coming to the Christian school too. And she said that in junior church, she heard a message, a salvation message, but she didn't go forward in church. She went home and she was under conviction, and she knew she needed to get saved. And so she went to her bookshelf and she got her yearbook where it has the salvation, the plan of salvation in the back, and she opened it up and she got saved from her yearbook.
Amen.
And so I'm the yearbook advisor now, so I just about hit the roof at that point. And then the same, I didn't share this with you earlier, but the same girl who gave the first testimony, this was just last week, she came into my classroom first thing in the morning. She said, Miss Pouts, because we've been doing the plan of salvation in Bible class, we've been learning it. And she said, Miss Pouts, I talked to my mom, and I led my mom to the Lord.
Amen.
And we're both praying for my dad. He needs to get saved now. So we've been crying a lot. I need waterproof mascara for Bible class now.
Amen. That's good, isn't it? I tell you what, Scripture talks about a little child shall lead them, and I've known a lot of parents that later got saved because a kid came to church or to Christian school and got saved. And I remember years ago sitting in a pretty big Christian school meeting. It was in a big room up there in Orlando and all over the state, I think. And I walked in and took a seat somewhat near the front, not very many seats left, and sat down inside of a fella, and I introduced myself, and he introduced himself. I thought he was going to say he was a preacher, but instead he was an attorney, a lawyer. And so I quickly asked him about himself. He said, well, I got saved because, he said, my little daughter, I entered her into Christian school. And he said, I didn't enter her in for the Christian part, just for I figured y'all would do a better job educating. He's right there, too. Actually teach them to read and write, amen. But anyway, he said she'd bring home her homework. And she'd crawl up in my lap, and I'd study her homework. Well, a good curriculum has the Scripture in it. It has the way of salvation in it. It talks a lot about Jesus. He said, night after night, I studied her homework with her, and I got more and more under conviction. And he said, then one night, she came to that point where she gave her testimony to me, Daddy, I'm saved, and looked me in the face and said, are you? He said, I got saved. He said, I've been in these school meetings ever since. Said, it's important. Said, what's happening with my kid is first important. And folks, we need to understand that. That is true. And God uses it. I want to talk to you a little bit on it tonight. You know, education is a big thing. It is a big business. It has got a lot of money involved. And I'm going to say a lot of stuff that's wrong about it tonight. But you know, in some other countries like India and Japan and some places, it is on the front burner. Brother John Bunch, I believe I see him back there. He was telling me when he was doing missionary work, preaching in Japan, how that those kids, I mean, brother, making good grades was just the biggest thing to them. And even sometimes, and of course, they have this thing about suicide sometime in Japan. He said he's known kids that because of flunking and not doing good in school, kill themselves. Now, I'm glad we don't have that in America. We'd have a lot less students in some places, I'm sure of that. But no joke about it, it's serious to them. And I know that's true also in India and some places, but it's not that true in America. America's come down a long ways from where we used to be on putting our values in the right place. And as Christians, though, our obligation is to train up a child in the way that he should go. That's what the Scripture says. And God is not going at the judgment seat for believers, for saved folks, at the judgment seat. He's not going to let you point the finger at the public school or the Christian school. The finger's going to be pointed at you as a mom or dad concerning your kids. That's a pretty serious responsibility. And sometimes mom and dad can do more good than even a Christian teacher can, especially a non-Christian. I remember when I came to, I've been living in this town here since I was in the third grade of school about 100 years ago, close. And moved from a little Georgia school where my grandma had donated the property, and they had a little old wooden building. I think it went through the sixth grade. I got started in about the middle of the third grade. We moved here to Haines City, which was a big, big change for my life as a little country boy. And most of the teachers in that country school was kin to me one way or the other. Now you say, well, that was easy on you, wasn't it? Not necessarily. And because if you messed up, they had no problem at all telling your mama about it. So, but I remember coming, and it was a big shock. They've torn the building down now, but my junior high building's still standing over there. But I remember coming in the third grade, and I had on Georgia overalls. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I used to get my hair cut real close because it cost 50 cents up in town there, about 7 miles from where I was born. But I waited until I could get my money's worth again. So it was about beetle length before there was ever heard of a beetle, or before long hair was in. So I go in to sit down with overalls on, talking my Georgia accent. Some of the words that they didn't have here in Florida I still used and stuff like that. Anyway, at first morning I was I was embarrassed because everybody was looking at me and making jokes about me and all that sort of stuff. Recess is what we called it in Georgia. I think they called it physical ed down here, but we had a break in the morning back then. And brother, when we got out there to play, I took care of those critics. Did all right until I got the teacher's son. I beat the fire out of him, and I was in trouble from there on. But I sure stopped a lot of that kidding. I mean, you go in a school, your first name's Mickey. Your hair's too long when long hair is not in. And you dress like a plowboy. You're going to have some trouble. I'll tell you that. I did. But I remember that. And I remember the teacher, though. I think actually she was a substitute. She had the funniest name I had ever heard in my life. I hesitate to say it because some of you in this building are going to recognize the name. But her name was Stallnacker. How many of you recognize it? Raise your hand. Good guy on the Chevrolet place here for a while, I think, was related to her. Name was Stallnacker. I'd never heard that word in my life. The only thing I could relate it to was what I had heard on the farm. We had chickens on the farm. You had white leggings, you had reds, and you had dominakers. I may even remember what a dominaker chicken. All right, I see a few hands, a few educated folks in here tonight. Know what a dominaker chicken is. It's kind of a black speckled thing. So I figured they must be calling her Dominaker. So I raised my hand at proper time and I said, Ms. Dominaker. Boy, did that class erupt. And boy, did she never forgive me for that. Never. I remember it so well. She was trying to teach long division arithmetic, middle of third grade. And she'd get up there on that board and illustrate it, and she'd give us a test, and we'd all flunk it. She got so frustrated, she almost pulled her hair out. I actually saw her run out the door screaming a time or two. Honest to God, she couldn't handle it. But she told us, and she especially told me, you're not going to pass the third grade if you don't get this. She found out I was from Georgia, and she nicknamed me the old Georgia Mule. Truth, God, I got my hand on the Bible, that's what you call me. I went home one afternoon with a real burden. I was fixing to flunk third grade. Mother was in there cooking supper. And I sat down with a math book and trying to work it. And I finally spoke up to Mother and I said, Mama, I'm going to flunk third grade. I can't get long division arithmetic. I can't make it work. I remember to this day, Mother dried her hands off the dish rag, come sat down side of me, hands still a little bit wet. She took my paper and my pencil, and in probably less than 10 minutes, she showed me how to do long division arithmetic. Now, why couldn't the teacher do that in days of it, and Mama could do it in 5 or 10 minutes? My relationship was different. That's what it was. And I bragged a little bit, went back to school the next day, and she put me and a little Jew boy who was really fast. He had a high IQ, good friend, and a little girl who had pigtails, and she played sports better than most boys, and I think, well, I ain't gonna meddle with that. But anyway, I think she'd done that most of her life. But anyhow, put us all on the board. And she pointed out that Paul, the Jew boy, was he was fast, and she named him some nice name. She named the little girl some decent name, and then she called me a Georgia mule. And she said, all right, you get at the starting line, and here's the problem, and you go. And I beat them both. I mean, she like to lost her teeth. I beat them both. And she tried it again. I beat them both. Mama had taught me in 10 minutes what she hadn't been able to teach me in a long time. And I'm saying to you, and I told all that to say, parents, you can do sometime what the teacher can't do. Don't matter whether you got the degree or the education or not, you got a relationship that'll work. And it's in a loving relationship, and it gives you an advantage. And I challenge you, if a kid is having trouble, quit blaming the teacher and get in and find out what the problem is and become a help. It'll work if you do that. I guarantee it will. And you ought to do it. And don't have an inferiority complex that I can't do it, I don't have a degree, or I don't this, that, or the other. No, you got something the teacher can't have, and that's a love and a relationship that will work. And I challenge you to do that. Now, we're told to train up the kids. Now, our country right now is hurting because we've turned our education of our kids over to Caesar, to the government. And of the ones that will do and are proving that they're doing the worst job is the ones you've turned them over to. Help yourself. I've been in, not on purpose. I surrendered to preach and started pastoring a church and never planned on being a school administrator. But I have been now for 42 years. I've learned a few things. I work with kids and I work with parents. And I know a few things about what I'm saying here to you tonight. Our country is hurting because we turned it over, and here's what hooked most parents. But it's free. No, it's not free. It's costing you the highest price of the one that ought to be the most valuable to you. You following what I'm saying? I mean, outside of your very soul, the well-being, how your kids are going to turn out, what price are you going to set on that? Government education is not free. They're robbing us all the time to pay for it. If you saw the Lakeland Ledger today, right here in our county of Polk, I knew it, but it reminded me again today, and I got mad again today when I read it. Impact fees right now in Polk County, if you go out and you own a lot out here, you buy a lot and you're going to build a house. The impact fee that you're going to give for nothing, maybe they'll give you a piece of paper, is about $5,400, I believe it was. And they're arguing that it ought to be 10. They claim they lowered it or didn't go to the full 10 because they were trying to encourage the real estate market and the building market. Now, do you understand? We probably got a Sunday school building or two that we built in the older days around here that we didn't even put $5,000 in building a building. Much less giving it as a gift to get permission to build on your own property. Some of you don't know that, but say, well, what did it go for? The impact fee went to the education. Now, kind of unfair when you consider that we got grandparents that long since paid for their kids' education, but they're still paying. They're still paying right on and right on and right on. So a lot of injustice that you see like that. I'm going to take an information sheet here and share a little bit with you. Many of you, let me see your hand if you know. Do you know Phyllis Schlafly? How many of you know? I'm looking around. Raise your hand if you know. Right? There's a few scattered hands. She's been around a good while. I've been in a meeting too with her in the early years. And she puts out a paper called the Schlafly Report. You ought to get it. It's about $20 a year. It comes to my office, and Once in a while, one church member here or there will bring it to me, because we get a bundle of mail here. I don't always see it. But quite often, she puts up a lot of the behind-the-scene truth concerning education. That's what she majors in. She is quite a bright lady on it. And if you've noticed in our Lakeland Ledger paper, about the only one I guess we got now, that and one I even News Chief, which is owned by the same one, which is owned by New York, so you're getting the same garbage piped down all the time as far as the liberal view of it. But with that, there's been letters to the editors and others in there fussing about the education plan called Common Core. Anybody read some of those? And she's dealing with that right here, and I'm going to read you some stuff from her here in just a minute. Let me say this. In the public school system, there are good Christian teachers that fly under the radar not to put out all the stuff. In some localities, better than others. Where my son's up there in West Virginia, it's much, much better. They're a little more what we'd call a country school up there in the hills, and so they fly under the radar real good. A lot of the teachers are Christians and members of the local churches and so forth. And we have public school teachers in our congregation even tonight that love the Lord and serve the Lord, and yet they have to be very careful that they don't bring the Bible in and talk about Jesus and get in trouble. I hired a teacher here one time in a Christian school. Was a fairly young lady, had been teaching just a year or two right here in some of our local schools. I forget which school she was in. It got around this time of year, around Easter. And she came by the office and she said, "I just wondered if y'all had an opening." And she told me this story. She said, "You know, it's getting close to Easter and we were supposed to decorate our bulletin boards in our classroom with something about Easter." She said, "So a lot of folks was putting up rabbits and bunny eggs and all that stuff." And she said, "I painted on my bulletin board an open tomb." See, that's what it's really about. So they came to her, told her to take it down, rebuked her, put a letter of rebuke in her file, and so she had courage enough, she quit. And she came to me, and I hired her, happened to have an opening, and used her the rest of the year, maybe 2 years. That's been a long time ago. And it's gotten worse since then in many, many, many cases. Now, Sister Shafley here, not an independent Baptist. I think she knows she ought to be, but anyway. She is right on all this stuff that she is talking about here. And the theme of this article is what parents don't like about Common Core. Now, Common Core is basically coming out of the federal government, even though in this whole article, the federal government, under the Constitution, does not have the right or the authority to fool your kids' education. Amen. Constitutionally, they do not have the right. But boy, don't they do it. Now, here at our church ministry, we have not only the Christian school, we have a building over here that prints and mails out and works with homeschoolers and produces a Christian curriculum. And it's grown a little bit every year now for a number of years. And we've taken our stand, and we've had some major fights right here in Florida and nationally as well. Even had to fight the IRS down back when Jimmy Carter was president, trying to close the Christian schools. And by the grace of God, we've won them, and we're still open, and many others like us are. But we better not take it for granted, because it's a threat to the powers that be that want your kids educated their way instead of God's way. In fact, they want to eliminate God from the equation. She says here, Common Core is replacing the teaching of traditional American history with a left-leaning curriculum. Those who say that Common Core doesn't prescribe curriculum but only spells out standards are playing with words. She goes on to say that the government is pitched aside family values, Christian values, and replaced it with what fits the left-wing narrative with its emphasis on race, gender, class, and ethnicity. In other words, not reading, writing, arithmetic, not what they're supposed to be learning, but social values as is set by the politically correct from the White House down. And that is so contrary to what the Bible tells you about your kids and what God commands you to do with them. Talks about the test. And this is in some of the Pope news here just recently. The plan is to federalize K through 12 education while shifting the course content to the left. And of course, that's what's going on. Sample exams will be released only to certified history teachers who are sworn to secrecy about what's in the test under penalty of losing their teaching privileges. Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, the other founders are mostly omitted from history now. It's all moved to a left-wing narrative. The U.S. Constitution is stated as an example of the now get this one. I don't read a lot out to you because it's hard to kind of get it, but get this. The U.S. Constitution is studied as an example of the founders' belief in the superiority of their own culture. Now think on what I just said. Our forefathers, our background is used negatively, and they want to replace it because our founders thought they were superior. Well, by golly, they were, because this place was founded on God, but they don't like that anymore. It goes on to say here, students are programmed to believe that America is not exceptional. Now, that word you're hearing in the news. I said to you in a sermon recently, maybe it was Sunday, that the University of California took down the American flag, no flag at all, because the student body voted to do it. Wonder what professors led them to this now, taught them this. To take down the flag because it might offend, and we're talking about like Muslims, but might offend and make students think that we thought we were exceptional as a nation. Well, bless God, we are. What nation has ever done for others what America has? We have crossed the sea and shed our blood to make other nations free. We have fed them when nobody else would. We are exceptional. And when we pledge allegiance to the flag, we say one nation under God. And we're not talking about Allah. We're talking about the Bible's God, the Lord God Jehovah. And yet that is heresy in the government program now, in the Common Core thing here that she is writing about. She says, left-wing writers of today want our history to be taught so students will believe that the United States is like all other countries, obsessed with the pursuit of empire and the conquest of other people. That is not true. Amen. When we had to go over and defeat Hitler and Japan, we didn't take their lands.
That's right.
In fact, we went back and sent them the money to rebuild.
Amen.
I've said this, it's kind of funny, but it's the truth. If you were in a poor third world country today and you wanted to become a rich country, the best thing to do is pick a war with America. Let America beat you up and then rebuild you. That's about as dumb as we've done it. But to teach students that we're trying to enlarge our empire, we're trying to take other people's property and conquer their nation for ourselves, that is a lie.
Right.
It is amazing how they tell such bold-faced lies and get by with it. I guess it was Hitler that said, if you tell a lie long enough, people will believe it. And it seems that way. It says Common Core American History courses give short shift to the American Revolution and George Washington's extraordinary personal leadership in only one sentence to the Declaration of Independence. Analysis of the College Board history framework, only giving one sentence out of the Declaration of Independence. It's amazing, isn't it? It says the facts about American history are omitted or sidestepped. And listen, she's not giving you opinion. She's got the stats. She's got it all to back up. She's looking at the stuff that she's talking about. And not speaking well of what we did in World War II or the fact that we defeated communism under Reagan, we pretty well did. But brother, that has slipped. In fact, Mr. Putin is sharpening his sword now. He senses the weakness of our leadership now, and he's beginning again to encroach everywhere that he wants to. And he's just fulfilling the Bible. The Bible says God will put hooks in the jaws of those nations and pull them down, and that's what's happening. Students in Bryant School District in Arkansas were told in a sixth grade history class that the U.S. Bill of Rights is outdated. You know what the Bill of Rights is? You ought to know what the Bill of Rights is. When we talk about such things as defending the Second Amendment, First Amendment, Second Amendment, you better know about it, because there is a group out there who wants to destroy the Bill of Rights. And you just saw in the news recently where they were trying to outlaw the ammunition for guns. And the last deer I killed, I used one of those bullets. Let me be honest. The first and only and last deer I ever killed, I used one of them bullets. I didn't know it till I saw it in the news that I shot an illegal bullet. It's not illegal. They're trying to make it that way. But they had enough uprising about it at the moment anyway, they canceled the effort to kill the ammunition. But they're trying to get rid of the Bill of Rights. This lesson plan calls on students to strike out two of the Bill of Rights amendments, replace them with two new amendments. Now, this is the assignment given to the class. Out of the 10, pick two of them and replace them with two others. Wonder what two they picked. I just guarantee the first and second one probably. But anyway, that was an assignment. And editing the Bill of Rights. The other thing is the surveys they're giving all the way down to grammar school kids, 8-year-old kids, being asked questions. And here she's got an example about it. 8-year-old third grade student, daughter came home, assigned homework about adultery. Got it from the Common Core materials for third graders. Several different ones. Now, here's the good news. Some folks are waking up to this. There is a pushback on it. There are a lot of parents and politicians even that are getting their eyes open, even some governors, and are beginning to fight this thing because, look, we are reaping now the immorality, the lack of respect for property rights and other things that was always so strong in America. We're raising a generation that has no respect for property rights. They have no respect for morals. Right. And our country's reaping from it. The mark of the beast will come in one time with his number when he gets in power, and it may not be that far off. But you're seeing in the news right now, there is no morality where it comes to taking what's not yours, stealing. So now with the cyber system going and the number system and the computers, what we got now is the way that somebody that has no morals or has no convictions of right and wrong, they've got a new system now they can use. They don't have to break the glass window on the street to steal out of the store. They can sit in their bedroom and punch the computer and steal out of your bank account. But it's the same immoral, same ungodly lack of morals inside that causes somebody to do that. You saw out there in Ferguson with them breaking all the windows and stealing out of the stores. Just an excuse, any excuse to rip off something that didn't belong to you. And we're seeing that now in cyberspace. But the parents are beginning to fight back. I can't cover all this. One lady wrote in, talking about Common Core. She said, my child is not coming. And she's raising sand about it. 45 states originally signed up quickly to implement this Common Core curriculum, testing, and so forth. Nobody had read any of it. They just signed up because the government said do it. Does that sound familiar? Does that sound like Nancy Pelosi saying pass the bill so we know what's in it? That's what she said. In the old days, they called that buying a pig in a poke. Anybody understand that? All right. Anyway, some folks are beginning to wake up. They hadn't read it. The only states that originally refused in the beginning of going along with this thing, it's been going quite a while, except in Common Core, was Alaska, Nebraska, Texas, and Virginia. Among those original 45 states, and I'm reading what she wrote about it, four states, Indiana, Oklahoma, South Carolina, and Louisiana, have since withdrawn from the national standards and tests. They finally got their eyes open. And other states are trying to do this. Bobby Jindal is the governor out in where, Louisiana. His kid came home from public school and he was going to help the kid with the homework. And he discovered what the Common Core homework was, and he got rid of the whole thing out of the state. And I like that. I like for sometimes a politician to get a dose of what everybody else is having to chew on. I think about right here in Florida. For years, we had one of these, whatever you call it, inspection stations, where you had to have your car sent in and inspected and get a like a green stamp on your windshield. It didn't matter if it's a brand new car, sometimes they didn't pass. Sometimes you'd go in there and one brake pulled a little more than another or something like that. How many of you remember being tormented by that? I do. All of our church buses, can you imagine? We had to get them through that inspection station. 10, 12 buses. That was a hassle. I had to take my personal car through there. I didn't like it. It's going to take me 2 minutes to tell this, but I want to hear it again. I took my big old black Ford in there back when they made big old black Fords and run it through, and guy come out there with something looked like a water modeling clay, and he was going to clamp it on the back of my exhaust. See, they were going to put pressure on it to see if it leaked. I said, you're not putting that on my exhaust. Oh, I got to, preacher. I said, no, you don't got to unless you want me to sue you. I ain't never sued nobody in my life, but I thought it was a good idea. And so he hesitated. I said, don't put it on there. Well, why? I said, because all that back pressure is going to come out somewhere. And suppose you blow a head gasket or exhaust gasket under my hood. He hesitated a little bit. Well, we've been doing it. I said, yeah, but not to my car. So he went into the office to get the supervisor. So the supervisor come out, and I happen to know him. I've known him ever since he was a cop, and I used to run from him when I was drag racing. He come out and said, what's the trouble, Mickey? I said, not gonna put that on my exhaust. He said, well, I said, you know enough about cars to know you're gonna put the back pressure. It's gonna come out somewhere. He looked at the guy and said, you better leave me alone. Give me a green stamp, and I went on. But here was the good part, and one of the best things I think he ever done. Governor Graham was the governor of Florida then. You'd have to sit sometime for hours in line getting your car through that inspection station. Everybody had to have a sticker. And Governor Graham got in a line, and they didn't know the governor was in the line. And he waited, and he waited, and his temperature rose and rose. So when he finally got through, he went back to Tallahassee and he stopped it. Praise God. One thing a Democrat done, it was good. Anyway, I got off my subject. You misled me there. This woman said, "My child is not coming." Governor Bobby Jindal and others now are revolting. Several different states. The Oklahoma State Supreme Court in an 8-1 decision threw out Common Core in Oklahoma. Some folks are waking up. It does help. You can fight City Hall. You can raise a ruckus when you got your rights if you stick by them. And parents, it's your rights to raise your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I'm saying to you, that's one of the most important possessions God gave you at your kids. Now, if you want somebody else TV or the school to babysit your kids, if you're unhappy God gave them to you to start with, then just keep on, because the day is going to come, they're going to break your heart, you're going to shed some tears. It's a lot better now to drive an older car and pay a school tuition and put them in a Christian school to learn the Word of God and what their values ought to be. We're about to start re-enrolling here again on our Christian school. Brother William said tonight, a lot of calls coming in. That's good. Listen, that car will rust and go away, but that boat, you'll probably be gladder when you got rid of it than when you got it. But your kids, how important are they? What is best? I challenge you, even as church members here tonight, you got some friends. Don't bring the kids to us after nobody can do anything with them, after they got an arrest record or something else. Bring them while there's time, while the twig can be bent the right way. They can grow up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I'm challenging you. I haven't said a lot about it in a long time. But all it takes for a church to die is lose all of its young people. That means the cause of Christ. Folks, it is important. You know somebody you can talk to? Talk some sense to them? How many have heard the commercial on our radio about a fella goes in and he says, oh, let me show you my big stereo. Let me show you my big TV. Let me show you my golf clubs. Or let me show you my new boat. And his friend finally says, well, I was really coming by to tell you we had an opening in the Christian school, see if you wanted to put your kid in. Oh, no, I couldn't afford that right now. You heard that on the radio? That's good. And that's so accurate. That is so true. And it's so sad.